What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'll be here. I'm here today. We're back from Texas.
Texas,
where we've been for the past 4 days. We got in at 1 a.m. last night and I was like, I'm not going to the gym in the morning.
no joshing on that Ooh. Front whatsoever. I was so tired. Oh my gosh. Like I got home and I felt so bad for my dogs because we had like our house sitter and they'd like, you know, gone through and they were there the whole time. But like, you know, they knew we were coming back into town. So like, I think they left like right around like dinner time or something.
Right.
But that meant that like, basically like from dinner time, they would just like, you know, been like patrolling the house and everything.
Just so like, then, what do we do? We're all by ourselves.
Right. So we walk into the house at like 2 a.m. and they are like so stoked
nice.
To see us. And you know, it's like you walk in and you're like, I'm so happy to see you, but also I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Like, I can't go play fetch in the yard right now. But in the morning, we'll go. Huck some ball.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Man, yeah. I got, we woke up this morning and I could hear the twins awake in their room and I went and like, you know, opened the door and they seemed like, you know, like, oh, you're home. They like seemed excited to see me. Then I just went and like, I like walked down the hall so that they would come like wake up Beth too. And I was laying in bed and they go, is Nana still here? Is Nana gone? And we're like, Nana's gone. They go, oh, and then they both just ran out of the room. I was like, hey, great. Good to see you too.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's so funny. Cause like, you know, we same thing with Addie. She got brought back this morning cause we got in so late, obviously. So like, you know, we're so excited to see her. It was like the first thing. And like, as soon as we were awake, it was like, all right, when can Addie get home now? Because we are ready to see her ASAP. And like, we walked in and, you know, we've been getting all these tales about how like, you know, she's like pointing at pictures of us and saying like, mama, dada. And she like walks in with Alice's mom and she's just like, Nana, Nana, Nana. And I was like, what is this?
Never mind.
What is this?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's fine. It's fine. We'll have our moment later. Maybe. If you can carve in a minute for me.
Yeah, right.
And she went and hugged the dogs.
Oh, of course, of course.
Excited to see them.
Hi, dogs.
Yeah. Dog? And then she immediately went and got a bucket of bubbles and brought it to me. So she, at the very least, she wanted me for something.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, you got to open the bubbles.
Good at doing bubbles. Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
So I still have some job security.
Exactly. Yeah. You're still good. You're still important.
Excellent.
For now.
But yeah, so the past week has been a busy one.
It has.
Here at Super Carlin Brothers, we do take a 1 week break in the middle of the year and sort of like a time where like the whole office shuts down and everybody has off and it doesn't have to be like vacation time used and stuff like that.
Which yeah, is just a mid-year break.
Mid-year break. Take a breather. However, I feel like I did not at all take a breather.
No breathing.
Like, this was the thing. I was like coming in last night at the airport. I think this was like the primary thought like lodged into my brain is I was like, we do this so that we can relax and like have a week to catch our breath.
Right.
And like come back in feeling like revitalized and ready to go and like new creative juices flowing, a whole new world outlook maybe.
Right.
And instead we like, I was like, it is 1:30 in the morning and I'm standing in the airport and I'm super tired. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. It's like you're going to get up in the morning and pretty much need to go and go like full court press to like get back into the swing of things. It was like, what, did this backfire? Did we have like a break and then we used the break to be busy?
Right. I mean, not maybe a little. I think it was restful in its own way. I mean, yeah, we did. It was the RTX was this past weekend in Austin, Texas, and we were invited to be a part of it. But our part would like the main thing we had to do was like host a big like trivia thing on Sunday afternoon, and we arrived in there like Thursday night, so we had a significant amount of time to just like play around in Texas and just like explore the city and have fun and check out the convention hall and stuff. And so for the most part, it just turned into like, and I didn't really frame it this way in my brain, is like, because a lot of times when you go to these cons, it's like you spend so much time like behind the scenes in like the green rooms or like the various lounges that they've set up for the special guests or whatever. And, or, you know, you're walking the floor or you're doing the panels or whatever they have scheduled for you.
Yes.
But this time it was really not like that. It was just like they had like a green room where you needed to like meet to be escorted to whatever you were doing. But we were only doing the one thing. So the rest of the time it was like, we don't even really need to be here if we don't have to be. Like I want to go out and see the event itself. But also like, you know, we'll just go explore. We'll just have fun.
We can go explore a little bit. Yeah. This is always the conundrum. Like, you know, I remember this like in the early aquarium days. Like I would go to, it was my favorite thing of the whole year. Like this was like my Comic-Con, but it was it was called MACNA, the Marine Aquarium Conference of North America.
Of course. Yeah.
And it was awesome. I loved it. Honestly. Like, I mean, you get there and like these coral displays are like through the roof. They're absolutely amazing. And you know, there's just like, oh, there's so much to see and learn and take in. Like, I mean, for me, I would go to all the panels. I would ask questions. I'd find like the professionals. I'd take pictures of people. Like,
right.
I had so much on my to-do list, and I would come back and be like, it was like going to like college for like a year, but it was like a weekend where
right.
like aquarium learning.
I just learned so much stuff.
Yes. But the thing that I always felt like about it was like the, one of the big things that they would do at the dinner that you would go to for MACNA is they would be like, all right, in next year, we're going to be hosting it in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they show like a huge montage of all the ridiculously cool things that you can do in Denver, Colorado. And I was like, but like whenever I come to these events, I am in the convention center. I don't leave the convention center.
Right. Like, yeah. You know, like you're attending the event the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I've been to, you know, like throughout those years, I had gone to like Atlantic City and Des Moines, Iowa. And I went to Denver, Colorado and Dallas, Texas and Florida. And like, you know, like, so every year was like some different cool location, but it's like, and so like I went to those places, but each time I went to them, it was like, all I saw was the inside of another convention center, which are right. all almost always the same. And so I think that like one of the things I've always aspired to do that we had like a little bit more freedom to do on this particular trip was to, and we had the girls with us, Beth and Alice came, was to go and sort of like explore and see the area that is Austin, which in general is just a really cool place.
Yes.
Like ridiculously good food. Although I like, there is the phrase like too much of a good thing. And I feel like I found the outside edge of too much of a good thing on this particular trip. Like
in terms of food?
In terms of, I would say, yeah, probably in terms of like food and drink maybe, where it was just like, it was like you were always in a cool place and it was always like a unique opportunity to try like a fancy cocktail at this restaurant or like this local beer that like you'll never have the chance to try again or something. So like, you know, you're in these places and you're being exposed to these things and you want to make the best of it. And similarly, this is like the weird like cap on the end. We had like the strange and very rare opportunity, the second time in my entire life where we got to fly first class. One of four legs of our trip. So it was from Austin to Atlanta on our way home.
Yeah.
We had you know, little thing there. And it was kind of like throughout the whole weekend, we're constantly eating really good food. We're like, you know, having like really like fun stuff. And I was like, I remember getting on the plane and being like, gosh, you know, they do have like the complimentary drink because you're sitting here and it's like,
right. Like it's such a rare occasion to be sitting in first class. You're like, well, I got to take advantage of it.
Right. So we never, we never do this right. ever. And so
it's is it like, midnight after a week of, lots of eating and drinking? Yes. Is that going to stop me?
Right. Yeah. It's like, I feel like I am obliged to do it. But I literally got home this morning and was like, I have never done like a juice cleanse or anything like that in my life, but I'm like, maybe I need to, like, I hear that they're not as healthy as you think they are, but like, I'm going to go and like sweat sometime today. Mm-hmm. I need to like eat fruit.
Got to run that treadmill.
I'm just going to drink a ton of water. I've already had like 13 glasses of water today.
Nice.
I was like, I got to the point where I was like, I just want like a bowl of cereal, you know, like, or like something bland, something boring, yogurt, you know, like I was like, I feel like there's been so much good stuff. It's like, but you just can't eat ice cream 3 meals a day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely not.
And I'm full aware of the fact that this is like the most first world problem as it gets, like too much of a good thing.
No, but I do know what you mean. It's like Austin or Texas maybe in general has like, especially like, has a lot to offer in the way of food, in that it's really well known for like Mexican food because it's so close to the border.
Yeah.
And then it also is really well known for like barbecue.
Right.
And then there's lots of, I mean, Austin in particular is like a real like, you know, it's sort of like a Portland or Asheville kind of city where it's like, keep Austin weird. So there's lots of just like breweries and people trying lots of interesting things in the culinary world. And so, yeah, I mean, you got to get the barbecue while you're there. And it was like, I think it was Friday lunch. We were like, well, should we just go out and, you know, explore the city and find something? And immediately Beth and Alice both wanted to go get like barbecue. Like, let's just do it right away. We're here. Why would we wait?
Right.
And so we did that on like, that was like our first meal out. And we went to this place called Terry Black's, which feels like this amazing intersection of like, it's like, it almost seems like a tourist location, but at the same time, all the locals also go there. And like, none of the locals are like, oh yeah, Terry Black's like, it's only okay. Like, they're all like, no, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, it definitely, you're exactly right. Like, I always think about this, like with the, like that TV show, like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I think all of us love that thought of finding like the sort of like hole in the wall, homespun, family owned, like, you know, it's like you want that, like you're so aware of the fact, like, that's like the real authentic experience.
Right.
In contrast with going to like, you know, like an Applebee's or something where it's like, you know, that is something that is like reliably going to be exactly what an Applebee's is, whether you're in New York or California or Florida or wherever in the world you might be. It's like, it's going to be what you expect it to be.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're exactly right. Like we have a restaurant, and I don't know if this is like a regional chain or if people would know what it is, but it's called Mission Barbecue. And it's probably the closest thing that we have to like Terry Black's, but it is a chain. Like,
yeah,
you can go do others of them, but this is almost what it feels like that was based off of, like the original, like,
right, you, yeah, know. It does feel like that when you're in there,
but it's a total whirlwind. You walk in and there's just like, there's like a line out the door, and like the people who work there are very aware of like the urgency, the speed,
yeah, the
like,
line, the efficiency,
like, yes it was wild, but it was also very delicious. But I feel like I ate that meal, and it is now Monday. This was a lunch on Friday. I have been full from my lunch on Friday until this very
moment. Dude, I know exactly what you mean. I've maintained that feeling of like, I ate too much at the barbecue place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's part of it too, though, because you're there. And again, I mean, it's like, you're trying, it's like, I personally was like, well, I want to try everything I can.
Right. You're like, we're probably not going to a second barbecue place. So I want to, you know, I don't know what the best thing here is, so I'm going to try everything.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, well, we'll have some of that and that and that. And then, you know, then you're like, well, I don't want to waste it. It's also some of like the best food I've ever eaten. So you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so, and anyway, yeah, we ate way too much. I'm just still full from it.
Yeah. Now I remember last time we went to Texas, I dubbed Texas Ben as like the only time Ben ever eats fast.
Yes. Yeah. I remember seeing in the show notes, Texas Ben. And I was like, what is Texas Ben?
What is Texas Ben? Ben who eats fast. It feels like yeah, Texas Ben was back.
Yes. Is that right? I was eating fast.
I remember you saying when we were at the barbecue place, Terry Black's, that you were like, I feel like the urgency of like the people on the line and the speed at which they're serving you, like it making me feel like I need to eat fast. Like they want you to get through the line fast, so you should eat fast so you can get out fast because they got more people. And it was like,
that is how it felt. Yeah. But yeah, so that was really funny. I wondered about that exact thing, because you and Beth are famously fast eaters.
Well, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Yes. I would even say Beth more so than you.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. It is just like, we go out to lunch and I'll like look over. I'm like, how is it even possible that you have consumed that quickly? But no, it's very impressive. So I'm glad I was able to hold my own.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes. But otherwise, I mean, great weekend all the way around. Lots of really cool stuff. We got to, we did like our live trivia event with, Jack Patillo and, BK from the podcast Annual Pass.
Yes.
So that was really cool. 'Cause like, you know, we're at like a Rooster Teeth event and they are like Rooster Teeth, like big Rooster Teeth people.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, they came in and like partook with the trivia, and we had some like Discordians and patrons, you know, in the audience.
Yeah, it was super fun. I mean there were some little colonels walking around RTX as well, repping the crew t-shirts from the quarterly exclusive merch.
Yes, it made me so happy to see it like out in the wild. It was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I would never run into it the way that I'm running into it right now.
I know,
but there
it
is. You're wearing
the shirt.
This is so cool.
This is so fun.
So that was really awesome.
Yeah, a few people had the challenge coins.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Nobody like really called us on it. I even thought about bringing mine.
I know. I did too. I was like, and then when someone pulled it out, I was like, oh no, I should have brought mine. Now, I think even one time we were on the convention floor and there was like a little impromptu like bar set up where you could like go sample some sort of like local brewery or something.
Right.
And I was like, I was fully prepared to be like, well, I don't have mine. Let's go. I owe you a drink.
I owe you a drink. I know. Yeah. So we'll have to, if you were one of the people who did that, I guess that's an outstanding invoice that we have with you.
Yep,
so
yep.
Something to keep in mind for next go round.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we're just really encouraging.
I know. Yeah,
get that coin.
Yeah. We're like staple it to my wrist or something. Right? Like, okay. Now it's with me all the time.
All the time.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, no, great trip to RTX. But realistically, I mean, over the course of the week that we had off, it wasn't even my only trip. I was also doing like a little lake weekend. There was a really cool house that we have rented in the past on Cleater Lake. And I like our group loves it. And the people that have they like owned the home, they built the home, they decorated the home. There's like a hand built spiral staircase in like the middle of the whole space and everything. And it's just like, I feel like the family is like just that runs it. They're like, they're not like, you know, your Airbnb investor type of people. They just like want to share it. I think,
right.
You know, it's like it makes them proud to like have people come and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But so like, they don't do like surge pricing or anything. So the house costs the same in like January when like nobody needs to be at the lake for any reason as it is like on, you know, July 4th holiday weekend. So it's just like a very reasonable place to stay, and it has a dock where I'm able to bring my boat. And as I was talking about last week, I was like, I've been doing like my tinkering, you know, been trying to summon my inner Grandpa Jack.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, oh man, you know, like I'm so nervous, I'm so worried, I hope it works, like I don't know what's going on with it. And the challenging thing, you know, about a boat, especially when it's parked in your driveway, is that like as you go through and you make these repairs and stuff like that, it's like you really don't have a chance to test to see if any of those repairs worked until you're back at the water.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, I know I did a bunch of stuff for the first time ever. I have no idea if it was the problem. I have no diagnostic experience whatsoever. So it's like, hopefully it works.
Yeah,
like,
I'm gonna get it on the water and see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So, you know, I was really like, I mean, it was the most roller coaster weekend tinkering ever.
Yeah. So does that mean that the boat did not work?
Not all the way. Yeah, no, not all the way. So,
oh no!
But so,
I feel like it has almost been like this weird, almost running gag that like for it has felt like when we were growing up, there was this like long running gag that like the boat never worked or whatever. But like in recent memory, like even before Grandpa gave you the boat, like the last few times I was at Vermont. With our grandparents and stuff, and when he was out taking us fishing or we'd take the boat out, I was like, it worked all the time. And since he's given it to you, it's like worked all the time. And it's sort of like, it's been like a joke that the boat doesn't work, but in reality, it has worked for a very long time now.
This is the exact thing I was telling Alice, because I was like, you know, we always get out there and like, I will talk to the boat straight up while I'm driving. I'm like, okay, you can do this. You got this. Okay, come on, let's go. All right, yeah, you're working. And like, you know, like when it does, like every time I like go out and I'm just like in the boat by myself, myself. I'm like, I will like literally like be tearing up most of the time because I'm just like, it's like, I'm here, I'm out here, it's running, it's smooth. It's like, you know, it's this massive piece to me of like family history. So it's just like, just really, I don't know. It's like, it's such a, it's something that I both like love in general. Like I love being near the water, around the water, interacting with the water. And then this also like hails back to like all these memories. And I feel like there's like a lot of like just positivity that like I've been like entrusted with this, like this thing that's been in the family for so long. So there's like a lot going on. It's like a huge emotional like jumble of things that happens each time I'm in it. But I was telling Alice, I was like, I feel like you guys weren't there when we were growing up with it, and like it wasn't a guarantee that it was going to run,
right?
Like it wasn't a guarantee that, like, you know, like a lot of times you'd be like in the water to like water ski, and you know, like you've got like the life jacket up to like your chin, and you're sort of like shivering, you're scared cold. A little bit,
yeah.
Like,
you haven't done it in a year. The skis are like a little bit heavier than your feet, and you can't quite hold them up in the right
like,
way.
Yeah, you're like wibbly wobbly. So it's a whole thing. And then like, you know, like dad would be at the, like behind the steering wheel and he'd be like, all right, you ready? And you'd be like, you need to hit it.
Yeah.
And like, you're and like, it wouldn't go. And so like, then, you know, you're like working up all this courage. And then
there's like this mixed emotion release too, where you're like, you're kind of like, obviously you're excited to be going water skiing, but you're also like nervous about the first time it's going to like, you're going to get lurched through the water.
Yes.
And you're like, and then it doesn't go. And there's like this moment of like mixed disappointment and relief.
Right. It's like, okay, okay. We're good.
Yeah. Also, please fix it.
Yeah. So anyway, so I've been going through all this stuff. I think I talked about last week. I changed all the spark plugs, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So got that taken care of. And you know, I had this like theory that like, you know, there, maybe it was the fuel that was the problem. And so, you know, I get out there, I launch the boat. Brother-in-law Mike is like driving the truck, so he like lowers me back in and everything, and I'm by myself, you know. It's like the sun is setting, the light, none of the lights on the boat currently work at all, so I'm like also slightly worried. It's like holiday weekend, and like there were, you know, like the lake police or whatever like were patrolling and stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get pulled over. It's like, you know, I have my license, but you know, I don't have whatever. It's like, I understand why you'd be pulling me over. And you know, like, and I don't know if it's gonna work. I go to turn the key and it's like vroom, 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 vroom. Like, you know, it's like really like low RPMs and stuff. It's like not quite hitting, and like Mike's looking at me and he's like, Mike knows. Mike's been there for long enough that he's kind of like, he's like, this is gonna be the moment.
This is the time.
And then it just like, it like roars to life and smoke comes pouring out of the engine, which I think it's supposed to do. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, yes, it's working. And you know, so he's like, all right, here, he gives me the thumbs up. I pull back, you know, and I'm sort of like motoring out of like the no wake zone from like the boat launch, and you know, you get to like open water, and I called dad and I'm like talking to him on the phone. I'm like, dad, I have no idea. Like, I mean, it's either gonna go or it's not gonna go, and we're about to find out. And so like, you know, we're puttering out there, and he's like, all right, is it the moment? I'm like, it's the moment. And I was like, all right, here we go. And I start like laying the accelerator down, and it just takes off, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
victory,
I fixed it, I fixed the boat. Like, I was like king of the world,
right? Yeah.
This is the best feeling ever. And so I'm like, all right, dad, it's working, let me go. And you know, so I get off the phone and I'm like carving S turns through the water, and I'm just like on cloud nine and everything. And I, you know, I pull up, I even beat Mike back to the dock, because you know, I'm going by water, he's going by land.
Yeah.
You know, I call Allie as I'm pulling up, and she's like, what's the word? And I was like, can you run down and like lower the dock? And you know, so she's like, it worked. I'm like, it worked. You know, so we're like, we're so stoked. And you know, so I'm like, all right, this is gonna be great. So the next morning, you know, we get up and I'm like, who wants to go tubing? Like, first thing, you know,
let's
like,
go hit the water.
Haven't even had breakfast yet.
You know, like, get there ahead of the crowds.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, like we get out there, you know, Mike's son is 13. And so he hops in the back and he's super stoked. So we go out, you know, we're doing our tubing and stuff. And it's like, we get like a couple laps around the cove and the boat's like,
oh no.
And I was like, no, what happened? It was like, I fixed the, I was king of the world. I fixed it. So then we have to like go into, they call it like limp mode, but it's basically just like the boat basically will like, it'll chug, you know, drive, you know, so that you're not like dead in the water.
Right.
But it's not going.
Right.
You know, like the accelerator all the way down, it's like going like 5 miles an hour. So ended up doing the whole thing, like, you know, where we crack the engine open and Mike and I have it up in the lift and we're like going through and we're trying to like figure it out. We're trying this, trying that, going through a million different things. And it was just, it was like literally in the dock. It was like, this was the other thing too. It was like, you know, like I said, working on it in the driveway, it's always this issue because you're on land, you know? So it's like, you can try something and then you have to wait until you're back in the water.
Right. Which requires, it's going to work.
Yeah. Which requires like a whole, you know, at least a half day commitment to get out to the lake, to put the water in, and someone needs to, you know, help me and all the rest. There's, you know, I need a couple sets of hands to do it. But so this is going to be this like amazing opportunity to like tinker with it, drop the boat back in the water, go back out, check it out again, see how it goes. You know, we can test it in real time. But like, as me and Mike are working on it, like the boat is lifted. So we're out, you know, we're hovering above the water. So we know we're dry. We have like the ability to like tinker with it and stuff, but we're underneath a dock, and inside of that dock is these two massive swallow bird's nests right above the motor.
Oh no.
And so Mike and I are sitting there and we're like tinkering with it. And at some point in time, Mike was like, I think bird just pooped on me. It was like, he like looked at his hand. We're like, you know, we're like looking up above us. We're like, oh my gosh. And then like, so we worked on it for like 2 hours. And in that time, the birds were literally just pooping on us the whole time.
Oh, gross.
Just over. Oh, and no. I was like, what is it? So like by the end of the trip, literally, it's like, you know, eventually, you know, like we had done all of our tinkering, we'd done all of our stuff. We had put like the cowl, which is like the cover, back on the top of the motor. And like over the course of the weekend, like as the boat's just like hanging out in the dock, I mean, there is just like a mountain of bird waste that's piling on the exact spot where
you need to be work. Yeah.
I was like, what is happening
this
right
now? This cannot be.
Cosmic fates, I felt like. I was like, is this a message? Is someone trying to communicate with me right now? We also watched Interstellar, so there was a part of me that was like, you know, it's like, is this the moment? Is that,
right.
is that what you're trying to, is there a message written in the scat?
Yeah.
Oh man. So anyway, yeah. It was quite the whirlwind. So I have a bunch of theories. The last and final thing is that I went through a million different things. I found a broken part, literally pieces of metal that were just rattling at the bottom of the motor.
Oh.
Completely had broken free. And it took us a long time to figure out how to put them back together. We eventually did successfully like wove all the nuts and screws and recovered all the pieces and bits and bobs.
Wow. That's impressive.
It was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. It's going to work now. Had literally nothing to do with it at all.
Oh.
It was just a different thing that was broken on the motor that needed to repair.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was like, well, at least we fixed something that wasn't a problem.
That's so annoying when you're like, yeah, you're like, one thing's broken and you fix it and it turns out two things were broken.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And in this case, I think like seven things are broken. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah. We're just working through it. But the joke is that like our whole lives, our grandpa has always used a product called Stable, which is like something that helps keep fuel from going bad while being either stored in a machine that's not used that often, or if you have like a gas tank or whatever. And I always thought it was kind of like a gag. Like I always sort of thought like, oh yeah, grandpa thinks you need Stable and everything. Like, how'd you put Stable in it? You know, like,
right.
Like it always felt like this, like funny thing, like as if it was a bit of like a voodoo type of product,
like, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, like, oh, like I feel like it sort of fell in the same vein as like multivitamins or something.
Yes,
where you're just like, it's certainly not hurting you to take them,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Is it giving you some sort of like profound health benefit? Probably not, but it's not like hurting you. It's, you know, it's okay to take them. It's not gonna damage you.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is precisely what it felt like. It was just sort of like a general cure all for all things at all times. It was just like, put Stable in it. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know. And so anyway, so I'm going through the whole weekend. I'm doing the whole thing, and we get home, and Alice's dad is like, you know, a gearhead. He has like his own like little race car and stuff, and he works on tractors, and you know, he's very like hands on with like mechanical type stuff. And Mike works with him a couple days a week. So Mike goes, and he was telling him all about our woes, and Mike texts me and it's like, our father-in-law, he was like, you know, did we try putting Stable in it? And I was like, son of a gun.
No.
Not Stable again. Is this a real thing? Do I need to put Stable in my motor?
I know. Well, it's like one of those things where I think, I certainly, the first time I ever heard about Stable was like into my like late teens or early 20s or something.
Sure.
Like
sure,
having
sure.
been to the lake and with grandpa near the boat, near all like lawnmowers and stuff, like my whole life, no one has brought up this product to me at all. And suddenly he's acting like it's the most obvious thing in the world and everyone needs to do about it. And it's incredibly important. And you're like, okay, all right. But like, it's like, it felt just like there's no way I got this point into my life and didn't know about this otherwise very important fuel additive that right. you're supposed to do.
Right. Like, I guarantee other people listening right now, 12 people know.
Yeah. Like what stable is
or to use it in any capacity.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think like since then it occurred, like it did feel like a foreign, but like it, I think I started to understand that like it is something you do need to use. Like, especially, I think I've had some lawnmowers where I did not use a stable, and you come back the next summer and it's just like, this doesn't work now or something. And it's like, right. that's probably what the problem was. So I think it is. And I think the reason more people don't know about it is because I don't know if you would have to use it in like your car or something, but
you drive your car
yeah,
every
but
day.
But yeah, you don't need to because you use all of the fuel in your car so quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, to the point where it's not regular. But I don't know like if you were like, yeah, I you know, fueled up my car in, you know, September, and then I flew down to the Bahamas for 3 months, and, you know, I'm not coming back until next April, so I may definitely put stable in it, you know? Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
I would say more so a thing at that point in time.
Yeah.
If it even occurs to you to, like, do something for your vehicle to, like, protect it while it's sitting not being used. Anyway, this is typically a case for anything that has a motor, is that motors like to be used.
Yeah.
So
if you don't. Yeah, get some stable. Get some stable, you know. Ask your grandpa.
You showed up for the deep cut fandom conversation, but you stay for the small engine repair tips.
Exactly. Exactly. Deep engine repair tips.
Okay, anyway, so Ben. It feels like a really good time for a transition.
All right. Transition. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a
fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, Ben, I had my own 4th of July antics. I didn't go to a lake or anything, but we did have a bit of a staycation, I suppose.
It seemed like it. Yeah. It seemed like it.
I found it pretty relaxing, really. I mean, it was really just being at home instead of at work. And so it was mostly just, you know, Beth's schedule didn't really change at all. She just still had all the stuff she would normally do with the kids, except that I was also there.
Sure,
so,
sure.
It was mostly just kind of helping out with that. But like Luke had nature camp all last week. So awesome. That was fun. So I was driving him out to nature camp each day. And then there was like a mother's morning out at our church, which I think should be called parents morning out. But whatever. Look, when I was dropping people off, there was me, another dad, and another mom dropping kids off. So more dads were there when I was there than moms.
Solid representation.
But solid representation. Just saying, church. Yeah. Parents morning out. Come on, it's 2023. Anyway, not important.
You should write a letter.
I will. Maybe I will. I'll be like, excuse me.
This is like one of those, like, I don't mean to sidetrack you at all. I think it is, I've realized a number of times I said, like, you should write a letter.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like maybe one of my life ambitions, one of my bucket list items is to start a letter writing campaign.
To actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just like, this like, feels like an extreme, oh my gosh. This feels very, like, chaotic neutral sort of mission.
Right, right, right.
Just
like a small correction to something where it's like,
right. Look, let me leverage my power as a podcast host to have a lot of people write a lot of letters about a small thing to situation.
So we gotta find our small problem to solve.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like this. Anyway. So, but yeah. So you're doing your staycation stuff.
Doing my staycation stuff. I found like the same sort of relaxation. I kind of felt like I felt at the beach where it was like, I'm not really necessarily aiming to do a lot of relaxing here. It's like all I really want to do on this particular days off is just like hang out with the kids and just, you know, be present with them. And like, that's mostly what I did. And it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
So, you know, we weren't doing anything particularly crazy. I think we went to the trampoline park one day, which they all absolutely love, of course.
Does that completely wear them out? Like, are they just zonked from
it? Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's extremely tiresome place. I mean, you can't be doing anything that isn't exercise, you know, almost by design, which is great. Of course, I always like, I personally love going to the trampoline park too, because I just jump as much as they do, if not more. You know, I'm like, I'm out there, I'm doing it. But the difference is that they're 5 and 3 and I'm 35.
That works out well.
It does work out well.
35. Hey, look at that. Is there anybody that uses the trampoline park as their gym?
Oh, there's gotta be.
Okay.
There's
like, this occurs to me like we have our rock climbing gym and we talked a lot about going rock climbing in the past. And like rock climbing is one of those things that like for a long time I would have thought of like, oh, let's go rock climbing tonight as like comparable to like going bowling tonight or something. Like I don't regularly go bowling. However, I quite enjoy bowling.
Every now and again, it's a fun thing to go do.
Precisely. But then like when we got into climbing as like an activity, like it was the place where we exercised. Like we were there like often and hard. Like,
yeah.
You know, and so I'm always curious when I hear about the trampoline park. I'm like, man, if you went to the trampoline park like 3-4 days a week, I bet you would be just absolutely shredded.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't know if this particular one like offers memberships even.
Okay.
It just seems like they should. It does feel like they don't. Should. But
letter writing campaign?
Letter writing campaign. Yeah.
The trampoline park.
Here we go. Memberships, please. Yeah. At reasonable costs. Come on now. Members only hours.
Nice.
It's going to be great.
I
yeah.
love it. I love it already.
But certainly there must be people who go. There must be trampoline parks where there is membership and you can just go regularly. And because like I bet there's like tumbling classes and stuff like that where
yeah,
you could
absolutely.
Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Where you could like actually practice flips and spins and stuff. Whereas this is much more like recreational. Just like kids go crazy, jump around, do whatever.
Sure.
Which is also fun.
Yes, I remember in high school there was like a there was a girl I was talking to, I think as like a sophomore or something like that, and she had come from a different school, and a couple of her guy friends from that school were like really into like, and here's the issue is like I don't even know what like but on MySpace back in those days like pre you know like mainstream internet like pre Facebook all the rest like but they would have like GIFs of themselves doing like they would like run and jump on like a springboard ground and do like a triple corkscrew and land on the ground. And yeah. I was just like, what gym is this? Cause it didn't look like gymnastics and it didn't look like some type of like karate, taekwondo type of thing either. It was like, but like, is it tumbling?
I think it sounds like tumbling.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's well, yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much my entire life ever since I saw those GIFs of those guys from like 2004. It was pretty much like, well, if I could only just do that in my life one time and GIFify it, then I'd be done. I'd
yeah,
be good.
Yeah. That was it. I remember, okay, this is just a random memory that has surfaced. I think I remember the girl you're talking about, and I want to say there was a night we were at a house and there was a pool. And we were like just going off the diving board into it.
That completely seems like circumstances that could track.
Anyway, yeah, I'm trying not to like name names or anything.
Okay.
But we were there and I think and I remember going off the diving board and I was like, ooh, I'm gonna try and do a flip, but like not bend my body at all. Just like stay completely like rigid the whole way through.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna try and do. And I did it. I jumped and I was like, okay, this is what I'm trying to do. And I stayed completely straight. And I think I like spun while I was doing it and like landed in the water. And I came up and they were like, how'd you do that? Like that was like a perfect pike. And I was like, a what? And like they told me like I had done like some sort of maneuver that like was like a thing you could try to do on purpose.
Oh, amazing.
And I just like thought of it in my brain and I did it. But the thing was, the moment they told me what it was and that it was a thing, I could never recreate it again.
It's like, oh, like, nope, too hard.
Like,
too
yeah,
hard.
Like, yeah, I was like, now that I'm really trying, I have no idea. When it was just like a funny idea in my head, it just came naturally. But now that I'm thinking about it, I can't do it at all.
I have this with literally just everything ever.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like the entire thing. It's like, I can't like prepare for something and rehearse it and have it go well. It's like if I organically fall backwards into it and it just turns out to be okay, then it's yeah. like that's my sweet spot.
Yeah, that's it.
I can only cool. accidentally.
I can only accidentally perfectly spin through the air when I'm not trying to. Okay.
Exactly. You understand exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, but that's really funny. Yeah. So Jay the Pike Carlin.
Jay the Pike Carlin. That's what they called me for like 30 seconds that one night.
Man, so impressive. So impressive.
Yeah. What else was I going to say here? I was trying to think. More staycation fun.
Yes, you are. Yes, you did the trampoline park.
Yeah, we did the trampoline park. We this is something I've wanted to do for a while. My backyard has like a small hill in it.
Yes. So a gentle incline,
but it's not that gentle.
Right.
It's fairly like, it's sort of, it's flat for like most of it, but then off to the right and up to the fence, there's like a short, but steep hill.
Okay.
Short, but steep hill. And so, I remember when we were kids, there was a few occasions where we'd be at like a soccer party or something, or like some rogue barbecue or something, and someone would just get out this giant, like a massive tarp, or like, I think once upon a time it was like the canvas from like a billboard or something.
That's what I always remember. Yeah. You know? Like they were like a realtor or something like that. And like when their billboard had been taken down, they were just given this huge sheet of like rubber vinyl.
Yeah. But then you just lay it down on top of the hill and suddenly you have like a way bigger, way more effective slip and slide that is just like awesome.
Yes.
Because the thing about a slip and slide is that like, you know, it's very narrow. You got to have some pretty good aim. There's a bunch of, you know, and if you don't, sometimes you'll hit the stakes off to the side and that can hurt and you have to go flat. This is more like you just have a giant man land made water slide.
Man land made.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. So I went out and I bought a giant, it's like a 20 by 30 foot tarp, and I laid it out in the backyard, and it was like during quiet time. I was so excited. I set up the whole thing in the backyard. I like weighed it down. I staked it down. And then the kids came out, and there's just this huge tarp in the background in the yard. And I'm like, all right, who's ready to go? And we started spraying the hose. It was so much fun.
Yeah, the videos looked amazing.
Yeah, they were just having an absolute blast. Nate especially, he was like my little champion. He would go up to this, like, the way my yard works is that the further you get closer to the house, the steeper the hill gets. So you could start, like, maybe more towards the garden side, the gentle slope. He went right to the steepest part of it, and he would just, like, jump as high as he could and like belly flop, stomach first, face first, like land on it and just go flying down the slide. I was just like, dude, you're having that. It's like such pure joy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that
That's
was amazing. Really fun. So hopefully we'll be able to set that up again. The danger about doing the tarp in the backyard like that is that it will quickly kill your grass.
Did you have a giant square?
There's not. Yeah. The next morning I was like, Beth, we got to get out there pretty quick because I don't want it to like kill the grass. And we went to like the afternoon. And we flipped it over to dump all the water off and then like let it dry before we like wrapped it up so we didn't have some like mildewy tarp or something.
That's a smart call. Yeah.
But I did come back from Texas and there is like a somewhat brownish patch back there, which I think part of it is that like clover has really taken over a huge chunk of my yard.
Okay.
And I think clover in particular is susceptible to like quick death. Or something. Because like I noticed before this we just had like a splash pad and it was sitting on a patch of only clover, and like that was only for like a couple hours, and like when I moved it was like everything had turned brown, and I was like, wow, that was fast.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know if like when you hit those little like white flowers, if they're just like quickly like, nope, we don't have much constitution, and we'll just we go down in like one punch.
yeah fully stacked in some other category.
Yeah we're good at spreading around, but if you like just gently graze us, that's it.
That's
we're
it.
Done.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So there's that.
That's amazing. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean the old backyard slip and slide is really, I feel like that's just pure magic. And it's like, it's such cheap setup. It's like tarps, not expensive. So like, and like Dawn dish soap.
Yeah. That's basically, like, that's exactly what I had was the Dawn dish soap. Yeah. That was super fun too. Of course, everyone wants to fight over the hose and they want to use that eventually. And then they're just spraying each other and you know, naturally. Then it starts to devolve, but
right. But, yeah. but it's a blast.
But it's a blast in the meantime. Yeah. And then, my garden is also starting to totally explode as well, which is pretty fun. Yeah, I came back.
Do you have crops?
I have some crops. Like when I left, I had like two cucumbers that were up, and I came back and there was like six or seven of them now. And I'm like, oh man, it's like everything's just going really fast now.
Amazing.
This is exciting. So all of like, I feel like my tomatoes are about to start coming through, which will be exciting. And then I did have one potential scare even. I know. I came back and like I noticed that I have like my little door with the fence there, and I noticed that the bottom section had not been like properly secured to the nail. So there was like a light like opening, and I was like, now it's still closed, but like if you were an inquiring critter, you could potentially have like weaseled your way through it. And I'm like, probably not, like no one's come through yet. But then I'm like going through and I noticed some like particularly big weeds that had popped up while we were in Texas. So I was like, let me just yank these out of here real quick.
Nice.
Because they seem nice and easy and the ground is moist. But then I looked over at my carrots and I was like, some of the tops of my carrots have been nibbled.
Bazooka Jack
found the. But then I'm like, did they like squirm their way through and break the fence free, or did they just find a unfortunate opening, or not?
Life finds a way. Yeah.
So hopefully, I made sure to secure it nice and tight today. So I'm like, hopefully, it was just that it wasn't latched, and that Bazooka Jack doesn't know his way through the fence, and this is going to be the last of it. and we're not going to have any more problems.
Last of It or The Last of Us.
Oh, pff, The Last of Us.
We're about to find out.
The Last of Us, yeah. There's just going to be mushrooms out there.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very dangerful.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it sounds like it was a very fun and productive staycation week for you.
It was, yeah. I had a lot of fun with it, and then Texas was a lot of fun. So great overall week off. Oh, this is another thing. We sort of mentioned... what were we just talking about? Oh, you were talking about MySpace and stuff olden days. Well, it is so funny that like it feels like MySpace is the olden days, but just this past week there is like a new horizons breaching on the social media front.
There is. It feels like you can't not talk about it.
I know.
So of course this is in reference to Threads.
Threads dropped over the past week and like immediately became like the most successful social media app launch like since Facebook or something.
Yeah, it was
and
like
it's by Facebook. So
by Meta. I know this is really it's kind of like an interesting conversation to be sure because Threads is basically like the at least I don't even think it's the only competitor. Is there like another one called like
Mastodon or something?
Mastodon,
I think
yeah.
So. I've never been on Mastodon as I want to say. I don't know. I think Mastodon is like maybe like tailored or like created for like a specific political viewpoint.
Okay.
Or something, or maybe I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know anything about Mastodon.
Okay. But,
We know that Mastodon exists as a other place where that is similar to Twitter.
Exactly. So this is like kind of like a fascinating development in this conversation as well, because like I have been off social media now for over a year entirely.
Yeah.
So like with the small exceptions of like when we go on like a work trip, like when we went to Disney, for example, for the Tron event, I was operating the Carlin Brothers Instagram, but like I did absolutely and precisely zero scrolling the entire time. But like as per, you know, like wanting to make sure that we're doing our due course to our partnership with Disney, I was like,
right,
you know,
yeah,
like doing the necessary like stories or posts or whatever. But otherwise I have done a really good job of not being on it in any way, shape or form,
yeah,
which has been awesome. But so for me, Threads coming out is kind of like one of these things where it's like I am a mere bystander of what is otherwise, I know, like a bit of a social phenomenon or conversation to be had, because even as far as being off of social media, but even before I got off of like Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the rest, I had been off of Twitter already for like a year and a half before that.
Yeah.
So I felt like Twitter was turning into a place that it was just like every time I opened it, I would like walk away feeling just like despair and sad and like uncomfortable. And like I felt like it like filled me with anxiety and worry. And it was one of these things where it's just like to its credit, you know, like TikTok, for example, like I never, like TikTok would waste my time.
Yeah.
Like I would go and like, and spend too much time scrolling on it and stuff like that. But like, I never left TikTok feeling worse about myself.
Right.
Whereas like, I felt like when I left Twitter, it's like, that's how I felt.
Right.
And so like when I heard Threads was coming about, it was kind of one of these things where it was like, it's interesting to know that there is a massive contender to Twitter, and it seems like there's been like a lot of people who are not happy with Twitter for reasons that are separate from my own reasons.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because like on the first just few days of Threads, which I am on, by the way, if you want to go follow me, just at Jonkerlin,
nice,
you know,
nice,
my,
nice,
my
nice
regular handle
right
over there on Threads. It's been it's fun. It has been like so much of the early days of Threads have been people just like threading about the like how clean it feels over here, or like how like non-toxic, or how like fun it feels, or like there's like less pressure or less eyes or whatever. And that's very true. Like if you're on there, it is like a much like cleaner, free air experience. And I've been just enjoying it myself. It does feel there's like, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know like what about it is making it different than Twitter because it is effectively the same app. There's like, I don't know if there's like certain, like if it, the algorithm is feeding you stuff differently. I don't know if just like masses haven't truly adopted it. And once they do, it'll be, you know, it'll inevitably become like the toxic waste zone that Twitter became. It doesn't do trending topics, which is a thing.
That is
I don't know if that is like a, if like trending topics was like a something on Twitter that like pointed conversations in negative directions or like helped like move conversations in certain ways where it's like, oh, this is trending, maybe I should go talk about that then.
Right.
Like because something was getting buzz, it like forced it to get more buzz or something.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that because I think like, you know, if a world event happened, like you get like a little bit of like confirmation bias, I think, or maybe that's not even the right word, but like if an event happened, then you were to like log into Twitter and see that that event was also trending, then like almost immediately what you'd be able to do is discover by clicking on like whatever, you know, trending topic it may be, you can almost always immediately find the two sides of the argument.
Yeah.
It's like, these are people who are for this thing for these reasons. And these are people who are against this thing for these reasons.
But
and
it like, it almost, yeah. But even that though, it like make it like forces divisiveness a little bit.
It makes like, a battlefield.
Yeah. It's like, here's a topic, here's the two sides or whatever. So it's just like, it like suddenly like a thing you didn't even know about
right.
is now like present and you need to have an opinion about it.
Right.
And you need to, and if you're going to tweet about it, you need to be like staunchly behind that opinion or something in like a very black and white kind of way.
Yeah.
And that I feel like it I can see why you would want that. And like, especially in like the early days of Twitter, you're like, wouldn't it be cool if everyone on the app, if like a bunch of people were talking about the same thing, if we could be like, this is what's really popular in the whole world right now. So you can just be in tune with it. Like, that's such a cool thing. Like, it sounds good on paper. In practice, especially nowadays, I feel like it is like not been as effective, you know, like either it's about something that is really divisive or it's just, I find a lot of times, at least my trending page is just like a new trailer dropped for a thing, or you can like even pay to have stuff like appear on the trending tab.
Sure.
So it just feels like that. But it's interesting to me that you dropped Twitter so long ago, because like a lot of the people on Threads, it seems like they're jumping ship because like Twitter, since like Elon Musk purchased it, has been like on this predictable downward spiral, and like all these weird decisions keep coming through where you lost the blue check mark and then you could pay for the blue check mark and then the blue check mark was back, but also a gray check mark was the real blue check mark, and like
right. It's like you need to in some way, shape or form, like when stuff like that is like so defined and has meaning in some capacity, it's almost like by turning it all on its head a little bit, it can like become very confusing. I think I also saw that there was like a recent thing where like there's a max number of tweets that you can like read per day.
Mm-hmm.
Which on some level, like there's a part of me that's like, you know, I think like, you know, a screen time limit, not the worst thing in the world. Like, but you make that decision for yourself. Like, that's not a decision necessarily that we've made by someone else on your behalf. So like, there's a part of me that's like, I can understand like limiting your screen time and seeing like the general benefits of it, just as someone who has like left social media and like realized that like looking up and around in the world maybe has like been better for me as like an individual.
Yeah.
But that was a choice I made.
Right.
You know, like as an individual person. But those are the types of things I think can like absolutely start to cause like, you know, like some, it breaks down the way in which people are accustomed to interacting with something in a way that can like deter them from it entirely.
Right.
And so what I'm really curious about as we go forward is that, like, you know, if you were to go through and like be invited to like a 50s themed party or a 70s themed party or an 80s or 90s themed parties, these are all decades of time where like the proposed zeitgeist was recognizable enough that there is a way to go and embody a decade of time.
Right.
Right. And so like, I think in a lot of ways it's like, and I mean, they're not like perfect edges in the same way that like, you know, there's not like overlap between like different generations of people. Like, you know, you might be a millennial that has like a lot of, you know, air quotes, Gen Z characteristics or,
right.
You know, like the other way, you know, moving forward as well. So it's like, you know, it's not like there's not like overlapping, you know, information. It's not like, you know, when 1980 hit, the 70s were hard stop over or anything like
right.
that. But like, you know what I mean? Like if you were to go to a 70s theme party, you would have some idea of like what it meant to have existed during the 70s, like what that looked like, what it felt like, you know, and all the rest. But like, as we shift through, and I call them paradigm shifts basically, but like, you know, as the world has established a zeitgeist for a period of time, we'll call them decade long chunks. So there's like the 20 teens and we're kind of like finding ourselves like into the meat of the 20s at this, at this point in time. It's like, if you were to look at the 20 teens and see like the advent and the growing popularity of social media networks at large, you know, whether that's going to be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or Vine or any of those things, like at their peak, they all seem like indestructible.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes. Like I remember, we've seen the same thing happen, like going to a lot of the cons related to this kind of like ecosystem, social, you know, whatever world that we're in, where like for a while it was like all YouTube. And then it was like, oh man, there's like a pretty big Vine booth over there. I was like, man, this whole event is basically just Viners at this point in time.
Right.
Next year, Vine was gone. And it was like, now it's YouTube again. And it's like, oh, there's a little TikTok booth over there. And it's like, now it's all TikTok.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, you're watching like empires like rise and fall. Like it reminds me of the opening of the TV show Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Like there's this animation where you see like different buildings like kind of go up and come down and then like change banners and like, you know, like be reformatted as Silicon Valley has changed.
Right. Over, you know, time.
Over time. Yeah. And so my big curiosity with something like Threads is, if you're going to take the grand experiment that was Twitter and look at what it did for the world, and even like the adoption of a tweet being a like verifiable piece of information that an important figure may have said or stated, or like a way to communicate your beliefs on the world. Like, like it might be like, you know, CNN might be reporting like Senator so-and-so said this, you know, and like they, and like the tweet, like in the beginning, people would have been like, a tweet, like tweets don't count.
Right.
You know, it's like when they have a press conference and they have a microphone and a group of journalists
Surround,
that counts. A tweet doesn't count. And then it was like, then eventually like tweets did count.
I know. Then it's like, I think that this was like in sports, I feel like this is always a thing, like, because it was such a way to have such easy access to what like any given athlete or person of any notoriety was thinking about a specific situation.
Yes.
That could communicate to the masses, and you could communicate directly back with them.
Right.
You know, like not necessarily they would respond back, but like you know, if Michael Jordan put out a tweet, you Ben could respond to it and he could read something you wrote to him.
Right.
You know, like conceivably, probably not. Probably some sort of manager or something.
Exactly. But yeah. I understand your point entirely. But so the question that I would have as we press forth is like, you know, it's like, what will be the overall evolution? Like, I can't imagine a world where 100 years from now, social media is exactly as we knew it during the 20 teens.
Oh, I know. You're right. You're right. Like, will the day come when you're like, oh, God, remember Twitter?
Right. Yes. But like, but not even like an artifact of the past, but like the wild, wild west of, like social communication during the 20 teens is sort of like what I would say, where it's like, you know, it was sort of like, and I'm not saying like pro regulation or anything like that. Like, I don't have an opinion on this. Like, I don't have a stance or a position or like an agenda that I would be even like personally thinking like, well, this is the right way to do it. What I would assert is just that it will change and something will happen.
Yeah.
And eventually Twitter, like the freedom or ability, the flexibility, the openness, like whatever the words might be that best describes it, will eventually feel like, wow, that was allowed to happen for a whole decade.
No.
You know, like, in some capacity. And so I'm curious to see, you know, if Threads ultimately becomes Twitter 2.0, what does that turn into? Or is it almost like, you know, sometimes like people describe like exiting a relationship as like an ability to like become a new version of yourself. Like, you almost like encapsulate the version of yourself who you currently are with this person you're with. And then it's almost like, you know what? Like, once I wasn't like confined or whatever, I was able to like sort of like make this change or make a big leap or grow as a person in a way that like maybe like I was having a hard time figuring out how to do before.
Right.
And the question is whether or not like if we left something like Twitter and go to something like this, this is just assuming that this ends up being the next big thing. do we take that with us? Do we, as we press forth, like look at this new oasis as grounds to be built up beautifully, or will all things eventually point north? Will all things eventually find, like, is there an attraction that these networks have where it's like at some point in time? And I would even argue this is part of the reason I left Instagram, is because I used to say that Twitter used to make me feel bad when I left it.
Yeah.
And I would say that Instagram for a long time was always just like fun and inspiring and interesting and cool. And then eventually I would say, like, you know what? Instagram is making me kind of unhappy to look at. Like, I feel like maybe for different reasons.
Yeah.
But like, maybe it is making me unhappy, but like TikTok doesn't make me feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, when I go on TikTok, just fun.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know if there's like a glowing golden age that all new networks have where it's sort of like, for a while, it's like people are just using this for fun reasons.
Right.
Like, you know,
right,
like
now it's just fun.
It's just fun.
Yeah. Like right now there's not like, you know, I don't think I've seen any like promoted threads or something where it's like, oh yeah, this advertiser was able to pay to have their thread appear in your feed or anything. Like
I
haven't seen that at all, which I suspect will not last.
Well, I think I saw that it won't be monetized until it reaches 1 billion users.
Okay.
But I mean, that was like something I read this morning on like a headline. So like, I don't know how absolutely like carved in stone that particular rule is. Or like, you know, talking about one of the most successful like app launches of all time, it had like millions of signups, but not hundreds of millions of signups, at least, you know, in that those opening reports of like how popular it was.
Right.
And like to reach a billion, like 1 billion is a massive.
Is a massive number. Yeah. Right.
So
it does seem like it could be a while before they get to a billion.
Right. That's
but ultimately not impossible.
Not impossible. I mean, yeah. it's like what, like 12.5% of the world population.
It's a lot of people to be talking to.
It's a lot of people to be talking to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But so right now it does feel like it's like a lot less crowded. I've been enjoying it. I feel like I'm using it maybe like the way I initially used Twitter when I got it in like 2009.
Like much more just like fun ways to like interact with
more just like
people.
I'll just, what's a good thread? Tweet or not tweet, thread.
Right. Yeah.
Boom, send it out there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see like how it grows or changes over time, or if it'll really stick or whatever. But the other thing is that I feel like it's interesting that you jumped ship on Twitter so long ago just because of like the toxic nature, whereas now people seem like maybe the reason they're disenchanted is because of like all the new changes with Twitter.
Right.
But it's like, I think you were more on track. It's like the thing is like you could be, I think a lot of people became really disenchanted with Twitter, but there was just nowhere to go. And it was like, well, there's not, I don't like where, what am I supposed to do? Because like, I do have a lot of followers on here and like, this is like an established space and it's like, there's just not really another option. And if I want to like talk to these people or keep up with what's going on, like this is where the people are. So I'd like, I'm sort of forced to use it. But now it's like, there's another option. It's like, oh, thank God, there's another option.
Right.
Oh my goodness. And it's like, it's actually like, you know, seems like it's catching on quickly. So, there's been, I think a lot of people have been like disenchanted with like the toxicity of Twitter. And there's been a lot of like people promoting, like just use that mute button like crazy. Like don't let the toxic in, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like
right,
if you're not, you don't want to see it, just get rid of it right now. Don't be, you know, like what can we do to keep this space clean kind of thing.
And so that would be the ultimate, question is whether or not like, clearly there's a jump ship type of mentality that's happening. And I, from what I can tell from like the like brief over the shoulder that I've seen from you, seems like a lot of people that like we would regard as like peers within this like interspace seem to have basically been like on board with.
Yeah.
And, which is cool to see. The question is whether or not like, you know, does this become like, will it have its own predictable life cycle?
Right.
And this will be like the thing I'll be anxious to see is like, are we able to start fresh? Like turn a new page. Everything is clean, wide open spaces, like plenty of room to grow, and will grow because it will be great for a while this enthusiasm is here for it. But then, like a decade from now, again, to kind of use those like chunks of time as like a way to measure this movement is almost like, what does it become then? Or do we find that the ship 10 years from now is once again overcrowded, and once again, we need a new one.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible.
Right. So, yeah. And that's where I say, like, I feel like as like these levers get pulled and as we discover more and more and more about like the effects on like what works over time, what doesn't work over time, and the realization that there could be predictable patterns to be followed is almost like do the people then in charge of those things do things to prolong the lifespan of it? Because, I mean, you're talking about like multi-billion-dollar like entities at this point in time,
yeah.
like mass adoption by, you know, the public. It's an information source. It's a news source. It's, you know, like it does a lot of
yeah.
important functions for society. What does it look like as it grows nearer to like too perfect, or how do you elongate the grace period?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what it'll be. And it's like, you're right. I think it'll be so interesting to see what we look back on this time period as, because like, I know, like when we were growing up, like, yeah, there wasn't social media, but there was like instant messaging and,
yes,
you know, it never occurred to me that instant messaging would basically fade out and then disappear entirely, to where not only can you not log into AIM anymore, they just deleted it. You know, it's just gone. Like you couldn't log back on for funsies if you wanted to. You cannot access your screen name anymore.
Right. Like it's just gone.
It's just gone.
Right.
And it's like that is crazy and almost unbelievable for the amount of time and use, you know, I put into it as a teenager.
Right. You yes. know? But so that's an interesting one. So yeah, if you want to track a lifespan. So one of the things I would have thought was very interesting about AIM back in the day, and this could probably apply to like just casual texting as well. But like, I remember when I first got onto AIM and I was learning, like people were having to explain to me like what BRB meant, because yeah. it was just like, I don't know what that means, or like ROFL, or, yeah. you know, like there were all the little like things. But then like, there was also like another hidden language. Like I felt like through text-based communication, I was at some point in time, as time went on, and definitely not in the beginning, but eventually, like there were subtle cues that you could send that would indicate like how you were actually feeling through text. So mm-hmm. like in the beginning, you might say, hi, you know, and like, you'd be like, hi, how's it going? What are you up to? Not much. What about you? And it would be like a conversation that would go on from there. And then eventually it was like, okay, you need to say like, hey.
Yeah.
Not high.
Right.
Because high almost came across as like either like reserved or bashful or cautious or sad.
Yeah.
Especially if it was like a lowercase high or high period. You know, it was like there's all these like little like strange, small, subtle things that you could apply to like that introductory greeting, to the point where like I could eventually get to the point like where if I was like messaging like a friend or a girlfriend or something at the time, it like within like two messages, I'd be like, is everything okay? Like I would know
right
that fast.
Yeah. I mean, even like that, I remember like the timing of responses and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It could be like a thing. Like you could get like a real feel for it. You know, there wasn't like the three bubbles or so-and-so's typing or something.
Yeah. You yeah, know? Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It would just be like, you know, like, oh, this conversation was flowing pretty good. And then all of a sudden it took 5 minutes to respond. Like there's something happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Something is the foot. And like, I mean, that was even like one of those where like eventually you would like, this is, I feel like going back into the dark pits of like my teenage anxiety, but like, you know, you'd be like talking to the person you had a crush on or whatever, and then like someone else would log on and then they would become like slower to respond.
Uh-huh.
And you would be like,
oh, you're watching the,
like it's like I realized that this person, this classmate who you just got paired next to in science class, like they just logged on and now
right, there's like a lot of like social, like, and it's like, it was weird because you're right. That was like, it was such a thing you could like navigate and watch. And it was like, you felt like you were really reading the wind pretty accurately a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of like a piece of it as well. Like, and I would say like, you know, if you wanted to like take this and jump forward in time, like for a period of time, like a public apology on Twitter or something like that was something that like could potentially be a successful like decision, you know, like,
yeah,
I made a mistake and I would like to own up to that mistake, and let me write my statement that can now be communicated to you all that like demonstrates the way in which I am owning up to my mistake. But then this became so required for so many people over such a period of time,
right,
that like the way in which that message was crafted was under a extremely high degree of scrutiny as to like whether or not like, well, are they properly accepting blame? Are they properly like doing the right things? What are they going to be doing to learn in the future to do better? And it's like the idea of a public apology, it might be like, you know, like, I'm sorry, I messed up. you know, like, yeah. like, and in the beginning, it may be like, you know, good on them for apologizing. Like
right.
They came out, they stepped forward, they recognized they messed up. But then it was like, as time went on, it was like, well, you can't just use the formulaic, like, I'm sorry I messed up. You have to expand on, I'm sorry I messed up. Like, I'm right. sorry I messed up. When I said these things, I didn't realize the implications of my words. I now have read more into that. I've spoken to other professionals in the community, and I now understand what I could do to be a better version of myself and be more informed in the future.
Right.
And
but then, once people recognize that, like, that's the appropriate formula, it's like, once it becomes formulaic, it's no longer acceptable.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this is what I mean. Like, in the beginning, it was fine to say, hi. You know, like,
yeah.
and that wasn't something that could be like misconstrued as anything. It's a common way to greet another human being.
Right.
We know this, but for whatever reason, hey, in text form seemed warmer, you know, it
right.
seemed more friendly, more inviting, more exciting. You could, or even like, you know, having an exclamation point on the end or something like, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
like the subtle
oh, yeah.
shifts,
to get like a hey exclamation point. And it was like, oh my gosh. That makes me feel so good.
I know. Yeah. 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 It's like, oh, you're happy to see
you're
me.
You're happy to see me. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. I'm a little embarrassed, but
yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, this is like the subtext, you know, so to speak, in the way that we communicate with each other as people. And I think that's the, I'm grateful and I'm happy to see that it feels like this new platform has certainly provided a huge piece of what maybe people, like, it feels so much friendlier. It feels so much happier.
Yeah.
The subtext hasn't been decided. Like you can say hi.
I think the most comforting thing about it to me is like how happy everyone seems to be that it is like more positive, that like it wasn't like that there is this like oppressive negative feeling about Twitter that lots of people were feeling.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, like it was just nice to not be there, you know?
Right.
Like that's really good. Yeah, I'm curious like it, like what you're like, because I think like our generation specifically, like millennials are like the ones who are like really living through like the Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, like Instagram, like the trenches of like that kind of social media.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I don't know if social media will always look the way it does now, but this is like the grouping of social media platforms that we had when we were growing up and like really going through it. And it'd be like, I'm so curious whether or not, like, you know, when you have like Gen Alpha coming up or like Gen Beta coming up here, like, you know, generations from now, they're like, ugh, millennials are like so divisive about everything. And it's like, people be like, yeah, well, what happened to that entire generation was social media. And
right.
like, no one knew the dangers. And like, yeah, they're all like that because they would all get into these crazy arguments on these weird websites. And like,
yes.
people were just like so heated and so determined and so like this us or them, you know, like it'd be so interesting if like that's like a characteristic of our whole generation, to like next generation, to like that was like they're all like that. It's such a thing with them, you know, like those old people.
You know? Right. I know. I mean, and it's the thing, you know, I mean, everybody is impacted by the era of time and technology and development and social, everything that's happening, you know, the politics of the world at the time. And there's no way for it not to impact you. But, you know, I think back, I mean, I bet it's been a couple of years since I first posed this question, and I'd be curious to see if your answer would change. But like, it's like, would we reach a stage where we're optionally choosing to not use all of the available technology of the day?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like, you know, we go back to like writing on cave walls and stone
right.
tablets and stuff like that. But like, you know, we're not using like modern medicine or anything. But like, you know, the question would be if it's like, you know, yes, there is more available. Yes, it can give you more access. Yes, it can do these things. But like, but I also know that like for me personally, it's almost like it becomes like a diet type thing. Again, going back to like too much of a good thing. It's mm-hmm. like, it's like, you know, like, yeah, yes, I love ice cream. No, I don't want it breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where it's like, yes, it's incredibly interesting to see all these like there is, the internet is just nonstop. There is no way in the world where you could ever consume every piece of interesting media that there is.
Right.
You know, and I guarantee there are things out there that you would love that you haven't even discovered or realized that you would love yet.
Right.
Along the way. And so it's just like, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't particularly have a stance. The only thing I can ever come back to with this entire conversation is just like, I could tell that it was impacting me, but I also know that I am like hypersensitive
right.
to a lot of things. Like I know that like if there was like I can remember like most of the mean comments that I've received like since we've been doing Super Carlin Brothers.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and they stick with me. Like, I mean, they're like this weird hoard of treasure that I can't ever like let go of because it's like, I feel like they're the things that keep me in check. The people who are, these are the only people who are being real, real with me. And so for me, as a result, it's like, you know, I think my withdrawing from it has just been something that has overall been better for my own outlook, which is what it ultimately comes down to. But I am also endlessly curious to hear if any of the little kernels listening out there have adopted Threads. And what you think of it so far. What type of, I have to imagine that eventually there will be a quilt pun. I feel like
I mean, just within seconds.
Oh, this already happened.
There's quilt threads, there's weaves, there's sewing, there's,
amazing.
You know, what do you call a grouping of threads? Do we call it an outfit? Like people are trying to like develop the vernacular, you know?
Right, it's happening right before
our
eyes.
There's so much of it out there, yeah.
But that's also probably what I would mark as like what will allow this to gain a measure of success. The fact that it's like such a simple term. Like whenever somebody's trying to come up with a name for a business, they always want to concoct like the most clever thing ever. And it's like, this is not it both is and isn't a clever name. It's a simple word that can be applied in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, you're, but I think, yeah, if you're Threads, you just got to let the people come up with it. And
don't
try and do it yourself. Like even like the phrase retweet, that was like, there was at one point on Twitter, there was no retweet functionality. Like you literally like the practice of the day in like 2009, 2010 was to type capital R, capital T, and then copy and paste another person's tweet.
Oh, wow.
Like with their name, you know, like make sure you put their name on it so that people could tell like, retweet this, and like people just understood that meant to me like I'm retweeting this person's thing,
right.
The word retweet wasn't there, and like the little circle icon to like immediately do it wasn't there,
sure,
you know, yeah, so yeah. It was like that had to be developed, and then it, you know, now it's just a regular thing.
Yep. So but just let it grow. What
let
find
it
grow. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to see it unfold. I'll be very, this is like another one of those moments where I feel like the prime reason I wanted to talk about it was just to be able to mark the data. You know, it's like, this is, to me, this episode is like writing in a journal. It's like, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not trying to communicate anything. This is like a data point for me that I can go back to in 10 years and be like, I want to see how I felt about it when it first happened.
Right.
And it's like, is what I feel like we recorded today. It's a piece of information for scientific discovery.
Exactly.
So anyway, there you go.
But back.
If you guys have any thoughts on any of the things that we discussed in today's episode, be sure to let us know. You can email us at popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We have an awesome tier where you can get access to after the final pop, an extra 15 to 20 minutes of Jay and I talking after each week's episode. By signing up, even just for a single month, you get access to the entire back catalog for that whole month, and so there's just hours and hours and hours of extra content of pop out there for you.
Yep.
So again, patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.